Good day to you, my beautiful friend. I'm Ruby. I am the founder of Healing Wounds Together, a platform for adults just like myself who have experienced sexual abuse in their childhood. And the topic for today is the body. I have been exploring how trauma impacts body, and I have been really privileged today to have a special guest who is also going to share how trauma impacted her body and what she did to handle and, in fact, overcome some of her challenges.
So, how are you doing, Emily?
I'm doing okay at the moment.
How's your day been and the weekend?
I had a lovely bodywork session earlier today, and I feel really good in my body. And I've just done a beautiful meditation, so I think I'm ready to go.
That sounds really good. I think it's a good start, isn't it? So today we are talking about how trauma impacts the body. There has been a lot of text around which talks about how trauma impacts our behavior, our mind, but not as much stuff around what impacts our body. So is that something that you would be happy talking about, Emily?
Well, you know, I'm in my 40s now, and my experience with body stuff sort of began very early, around the age of 13 to 14. And I didn't know it at the time, but as I grew up and started to experience some actual remembering of abuse, what I'd been feeling in my body started to make perfect sense. And what was interesting was it was correlating to the images in my head.
So would it be okay to go into some of these experiences?
Yeah, I've come to prepare to answer those questions. So,
I mean, we can go as gentle as you prefer, or I just want it to be comfortable for ourselves as well as our listeners. So you can take a particular example or just take us through and just let us know what it's like.
Sure. I don't exactly remember how old I was at the time, but I had a situation once where I all of a sudden had a flash in my head, and then I started itching in the lower region of my body, around my womb area, and all of a sudden I started developing an actual rash in that area, and it was so sudden and so there in my face. I didn't really have time to process the impact of it, and I experienced several days of body memories from the itching, which was the primary beginning of it, to a sense of almost tingling. There was a bit of pain as well. The pain was not obviously physical. It felt like the memory was impacting my skin.
Did you know at the time that this itching was due to abuse? Because it is very possible to say, oh, I'm just itching and that must be something, and you would go to a doctor, right? Like that would be a normal thing to do.
As I said, I had had an image in my head very suddenly. Right. And then the correlation between the itching in on my body and the image in my head just came together. It was so sudden, and certainly not something that I'd done anything to influence. Like, I hadn't been using creams that were irritating my skin. I hadn't even had a thought previous to that mind image that brought up any fear or anything. But I was fine 1 minute, and then I had this image in my head, and then together with the image in my head, there were a whole lot of very sudden feelings that didn't make complete sense to me, but it certainly began to make sense as different phases of the situation were starting to manifest, like the itching and then the rash, plus the mind memories, plus the feelings associated with the image, some sense of mild regression, like not in this particular situation, but in another situation that I can recall, I had an experience of actual physical perceptive regression. Like the sense was that I was shrinking in my body in accordance with how old I was in the memory, like perceptually.
Yeah, that must have been really powerful and troubling at the same time.
It was. I had certainly had, you know, information in my data bank of knowledge that gave me some idea of what might have been happening to me. And thank God that was the case, because in a lot of situations, I could have been way more traumatized by the experience had I not known what it could have been that was going on.
I think listening to you, I can relate to my own experience as well, because I remember that when I used to tell people about my abuse, and immediately within seconds, I would start sneezing and my nose will get blocked, and I just wouldn't be able to breathe. And my eyes would itch, and then they would start, like suddenly I have these flu-like symptoms. And at the time I didn't quite understand what was happening to me. And it was much later that I realized that it was the experience and the memory was showing up in the body that way.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I would, in my own experience, call that a psychosomatic reaction. Mm-hmm. And it's something that the body does to help us out, actually. I at least had an indication from those psychosomatic symptoms in myself that said, you know, okay, pay attention.
Was that the first sign for you to realize the impact that trauma had on you?
It was one of the things. Yeah. Previous, you know, like growing up, I probably started having nightmares quite early on. Again, probably around the age of 13 to 14 years of age, more consciously. And I developed bulimia as well in my later years. It's different from anorexia in that you tend to binge and throw up the contents of what you've taken in. Whereas anorexia is different, that you just don't have a sense or a desire to want to put food into your body.
So when you had these experiences, it would have been very easy to be scared by that. Did you find support, or what did you do?
I think for a long time I just took it upon myself to find as many resources as I could. I was a teenager as well. I think I was quite conscious of, if I talk about things with someone before the legal age of 16, where my autonomy and my privacy were protected, I would be in trouble. So I took it a lot upon myself to actually read and get as much information as I could, resource-wise.
Did that make you feel lonely?
I didn't really think about it as lonely. In fact, I wanted my own space so much.
Okay, so it worked in your favor.
It worked in my favor, yeah. But that's my type of personality. I was always a homebody, actually, and preferred my own space, yeah. So, you know, it was a testing ground for my resistances.
So how worse or how bad did it get, the symptoms?
Of?
The rashes and the itching, and how bad did it get?
It's interesting to look back on it now, because I'm sort of at a point in my healing where I can take my experiences more as a growth and development type of an experience, and you know, I've certainly experienced it as a character building thing. It's taught me so much about myself, and it certainly has introduced me to some amazing modalities as well, healing modalities, and also people. So, you know, I'm at a stage where I don't regret my experiences.
That is such a, how shall I say, wise soul, and such an old soul you spoke like. I think it takes a lot of courage, and I cannot even imagine the kind of healing that you must have done to be able to be where you are today. Are you proud of yourself?
Yes, I think for the most part I am. I have my moments, just like everyone else. But yeah. It's always good to look upon my ability to process my stuff now, and to, you know, to find ways of processing the content of whatever's going on for me. And it may not even be abuse related, just it could be something at work that's, you know, been a frustration for me. I find it really beneficial to have the willingness in myself to do the work.
I'm sure the first time when you started doing the work, it must have felt really, really hard.
It was, because I was learning as I went along.
Yeah. So survivors would probably, and I want to know, what are some of the things you've tried, and maybe those things may work for some of the other listeners as well. So would you like to share some of the modalities that you've tried?
Sure. Well, one of the first modalities that I ever adopted for myself was dream work. Already a lot of nightmares sometimes, you know, nightmares as opposed to dreams. Dreams are not
scary,
traumatic.
Yeah.
Nightmares, on the other hand, are. And I was having a lot of both. And it was actually really good to learn how to read and listen to the content of my dreams, and actually interpret them from my own self-awareness perspective. You know, I knew a certain amount about myself at that point, and I looked at dreams as being able to give me more insight.
So if I understand it correctly, does that mean that when you had nightmares, then when you woke up or when you were awake, you went back through what you had seen and either interpreted it or processed it or reflected on it?
Absolutely, yeah. I read up on how the sleep patterns affect the ability to remember dreams. So I developed a technique with myself where I would not move and I would not open my eyes. And what that did for me was not change my brain patterning for the 15 minutes while I recapped the dream in my head. And I was more able to remember it and record it that way. And I did, instead of writing things down, I had a voice recorder.
Very technologically advanced.
Yeah, and you know, it also helped me to just remain in that state of beingness with my dreams.
Were you working with a therapist of a sort, or was this self-work?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you had support from someone, you knew what you had to do to be able to process those nightmares.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know I have had them myself, and I have talked to many other survivors who have actually gone through nightmares. So I'm sure they would really love this idea that the nightmares can be resolved. So do you have nightmares anymore?
Very occasionally, but then certainly not as traumatic for me anymore. If they do have traumatic content, I feel more capable of coming back from the experience. It takes me, say, half an hour rather than several days.
Yeah, that's amazing. So if, let's say, I have a nightmare and if I want to try what you just talked about, which is stay still, recap and process and then record, are there any tips or are there any things you could say that would better my experience or make it more beneficial?
First of all, I also had ways of comforting myself when I woke up, a soft toy, music, a warm blanket, making sure that I was warm and I was comfortable, as comfortable as I can, you know. And I slept with the door closed. I slept with the door open. And so, you know, if I was feeling scared, sometimes the door would be closed. And especially for privacy reasons, while I recorded the content of a dream, I would tend to close the door, create a room for myself.
Yeah, that sounds really very comforting. And I think you probably knew what you needed and how to take care of yourself. So I would say bravo.
Thank you. Yeah, and I learned as I went along.
Yeah. Did that change your experience or the body memories and how they were manifesting?
Sometimes the nightmares would trigger body memories. Sometimes the dreams were actually segues to actually remembering memories. But I saw it as a process, and something that I could either reject and fight. And I did that for a while. I fought it. But I also realized down the track, and as I got older, and as I learned how beneficial processing the content was, that I decided to listen to it more.
Do you think that processing nightmares had any impact on the flashbacks? Did you have them, or did they reduce? Or
actually, you know what? I also developed a technique with myself where I would go over the content of my day before I went to sleep, so that I would attempt to bring into consciousness before I went to sleep anything that may have been traumatic or upsetting or in some other way causing me flux, so that my unconscious didn't have to adopt it at night and tell me about it in a less conscious way.
That sounds very, very wise. Wow. Kudos to you. I'm blown away.
I learned that. I made that observation about myself, and I put it into practice, and it helped me.
So what I'm hearing in all of this is that flashbacks and nightmares, they are a lot of unconscious processes which are manifesting in the different conditions, body being one of them. Yes. And through this process of reflecting and bringing them to consciousness, you were able to manage your condition, heal, and come out on the other side.
Absolutely.
That sounds amazing. Sometimes survivors ask, or I want to know as well, how long? 1 month, 1 day, 1 week, you know? How long do you think that sort of process takes?
It really just depends. It depends on...
That's not what I want to hear.
I didn't want to hear that when I was doing my, you know, the gist of my healing either. But it is just the way it works. There are no time limits on this stuff, and sometimes you go backwards and sometimes you make steps forwards. And you know, I've also had moments where I thought something was healed and then, oh my God, it's not healed. Oh, yeah. And I'm thrown into a different level of awareness and the potential for healing. And it could be more in terms of the depth of its experience in my body And it could be also something related to, say, a relationship where I have the opportunity to have a corrective experience around something that happened in a relationship, and it's all connected to an experience in my body, in my mind, in relation to the abuse.
Yeah.
Resistance is definitely part of the experience as well. You know, there were times where I just didn't want to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my ways of not dealing with it.
Shall we not go into those ways that we not deal with things?
But, you know, I essentially my decision was healing is worth it.
I am really glad to hear it, because I see and I hear survivors who say it's not worth it, that I might as well die. And to me, it feels really sad. It really feels sad because we've gone through something so difficult, and we've survived that, and nothing is as more difficult. So we can do it, but somehow we just don't trust ourselves. So Emily, I must say, I am really amazed at how you have managed not only your symptoms, but also took from the world that you needed to heal. I am blown away by your journey and by your commitment to the healing. So I'm really now curious about, where are you now?
Work. I have been working in a corporate environment for the last 7 years, and I'm not happy. And about a year and a half ago, I decided that something needed to change, and it's taken this long now for me to do the steps that I need to do to move on. From next year, I am starting a Reiki and bodywork practice. Bodywork as different from massage. So it's basically a supportive way of helping the muscle and the skeletal system rebalance.
So would it be fair to say that it's, you know, energetics and body work to help with trauma or with any clients?
Well, it certainly aids the healing that survivors can do. But it works for more than just trauma.
Yeah,
related.
I understand. I think in some ways it's like what I'm doing as well. We survivors can really understand how difficult it is for other survivors. And to come from that place, it means we can be more sensitive to other survivors who we are helping.
Yeah, look, I started my own experience, like having bodywork sessions when I was much younger than I am now. And in the beginning, I shook like my whole body shook and kept shaking until one day I felt safe enough that it stopped. But the fact that I continued to seek out those touch therapies, it was actually very beneficial to my healing journey.
Yeah, I can totally understand that, because it was the touch that became the abuse. So for survivors, touch would be very unsafe. And to be able to address that and bring the healing back to the touch would be very powerful.
It was a relearning for me.
Yeah.
And I found very safe people. People who knew of boundaries and actually taught me boundaries.
I think boundaries are so important. I talk about that in pretty much every second blog of mine. So I totally understand that. Are you proud of what you're about to do?
I am. I love it. It's also a modality that is very grounding for me. So, I also believe that if I'm not doing my own journey and healing my own body and my own mind and emotions, I can't be there as a support for other people.
That sounds really amazing. And I think that what you have done on yourself and what you have sort of gone through, the difficulties that you could really help other survivors and even people, because I think all of us carry trauma within us, right? So you could really help them with their journey. So that sounds very promising. Do you have any last words before we close for the interview?
Just that, you know, I'm learning more and more how the present moment can be the healing from the past. That corrective moments of healing happen quite spontaneously, and when they do, they can be very transformative.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am really appreciative. I'm really grateful for your openness and vulnerability, Emily. It has been amazing. You've taught me new things that I did not know, and I thought I've done everything under the sun. So thank you so much for being here.
Thanks very much for having me, and I really enjoyed sharing.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.